Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Happy Monday. It is Monday, March 4th, 2024, in a new month. Isn't it amazing? It just seems like February flew by. I know it's always a shorter month. We had the extra day on the leap day on Thursday. But boy, I'm telling you what, this Lent is going by so, so quickly. And we are so glad you're tuned in to EWTN for encouragement, for insights, for support during your Lenten journey, and also your journey every single day. And I'll tell you what, today's program, I think you're going to really enjoy it. You probably heard me on and off since the Good News Cruise back in January talking about the amazing experience we had with so many of the people that we meet. Well, one of the persons that Deacon Dom and I met, and this happened on the first night on the cruise, was a young priest, dynamic young priest in the Diocese of Phoenix. He's the associate pastor at St. Timothy's, and he was ordained by the wonderful, now retired, Bishop Emeritus, Bishop Olmsted. A crazy journey, a crazy story that involves, believe it or not, EWTN. I'm not going to give you all the details now. I want you to tune in because you don't want to miss it. But what this young man has been through physically, emotionally, family-wise, struggles he had during the seminary, I mean, it is just one of those feel-good stories that just makes you realize that God is always in charge and that Romans 8:28, all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Now, the other point that I want to make, and Father Frankie Cicero from St. Tim's in Phoenix will bring this out. We actually sat down with him and pre-recorded this interview last week because his schedule, being that he's in Phoenix and that he has Mass in the morning, it just wouldn't work to do it live. So he was gracious enough to find time in his busy schedule. So this is a brand new, fresh interview, and I think you're really going to like it. The other thing that I want you to hear are the details, that God is in the details. Sometimes we forget that. There's that old saying that you know who is in the details. Oh, no. No, God is in the details. And there are just some funny things, including something that happened during the taping of the interview. And you'll hear this toward the end. It's just like God said, hey, I got this. Yeah, I'm God. I can do anything. Yeah, so don't worry about this. But it's actually funny. I think God's got a great sense of humor and also impeccable timing. Well, he is God after all. But anyway, this story of this young priest is a testimony to faith. It's a testimony to endurance. It's a testimony to how the Lord is always with us, even when we don't realize it or feel it. But also, my friends, it is a testimony and a testament to you and to what you do when you support EWTN and Catholic Radio. It's a very big part of this story, which will come to the end of the interview, but I don't want you to forget that, because you played a role in this. Because if you don't support us, we don't exist. And so we exist because of your prayers and your support and your constant dedication to keeping this network on the air and all of our affiliates across the country. So this story of this amazing priest who's having such an impact right now is in part due to your support of EWTN and our Catholic radio affiliates. And we shall explain in the interview. So that is the show for today. I would like some prayers, if you don't mind. Hope you don't mind me asking. Deacon Dom and I are speaking tonight in beautiful Venice, Florida. We're doing a parish mission. We are doing our presentation. Our first one tonight is on our book, Intimate Graces, How Practicing the Corporal and Spiritual Works of Mercy Brings Out the Best in Your Marriage. So that's tonight, tomorrow night. I'm speaking to the ladies all about the feminine genius and talking about the domestic church and how we find our vocations and our roles. So that's tomorrow night, and then we return on Friday. So we just appreciate your prayers greatly, and thank you ahead of time. Weather-wise, we will have some updated stories in the news about the developments that happened over the weekend, especially in the Sierra Nevada Mountains, Lake Tahoe area, damaging winds, hazardous conditions in terms of a ton of snow. That was that powerful winter storm that we talked about on Friday, if you recall in the news. So some pretty rough going there. And then we also have an update in the news about the fire weather that hit Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle last week and then moving into this weekend. So that's a look at our program for this morning. Thanks for tuning in to Catholic Connection and EWTN, a co-production of EWTN and AveMariaRadio.net. And one more thing before the news, don't forget the Good News Cruise 2025. Father Frankie is going to be there again as one of our priests, and we also have Sister Joseph Andrew, Father Michael Schmitz, and Immaculee Ilibagiza is going to be joining us on the GoodNewsCruise.com 2025. Let's get started on a Monday, March 4th, 2024. Catholic bishops are urging lawmakers to oppose a bill that would create a federally sanctioned right to access in vitro fertilization, a fertility treatment that has resulted in the deaths of millions of human embryos in the U.S. Catholic News Agency tells us a bill called the Access to Family Building Act was established, a federally protected right to IVF access, preempting state-imposed restrictions. IVF, however, the bishops warn, is a threat to the most vulnerable of human beings. They further rebuke the IVF industry as one that is built on millions of children who are created to be destroyed or abandoned. Pope Francis is urging for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza to provide aid and to secure the release of hostages. Speaking in his Sunday Angelus address, Nathan Morley from the Vatican explains the Pope said the people of Palestine and Israel are suffering due to the war between Israel and Hamas.
The head of the Norwegian Refugee Council, who has just returned from Gaza, said he believes there is now a famine in the north of the territory. Jan Egeland told the BBC that he had been prepared for a nightmare, but what he saw was much worse. He said that was because Israel was not opening nearby border crossings to let aid in. He also condemned the United States, Germany and the UK for selling weapons to Israel.
After having been among these families who have sisters and children and the elderly killed around themselves, to say, I would not give any arms to this. I would have my fingerprints on a crime scene, as these countries that have given the arms to this now have, in my view, and there will be a day of judgment for this.
Over the weekend, Jordan and the United States jointly carried out airdrops of aid to Gaza. The U.S. Air Force said three planes carried 66 packs containing around 38,000 meals. Meanwhile, mediators in the Gaza conflict are meeting in Cairo to try and reach agreement on a temporary ceasefire between Israel and Hamas.
House Intelligence Chair Mike Turner says CIA Director William Burns told him a ceasefire in the Israeli-Hamas war is close. Speaking on CBS's Face the Nation, Turner saying the potential deal comes after weeks of negotiations with international leaders.
I was just briefed by the CIA director, Burns, Friday, personally. He is the one who is conducting the ceasefire negotiations, and he believes that we're close, and I think that is very, very important to accomplish.
The congressman said it's important to get the deal done because there's hostages still being held by Hamas, and there's a major need to get aid into the Gaza Strip. This one day after Israel reportedly said yes to the framework of a potential temporary ceasefire and hostage release agreement, as you heard earlier. A U.S. official saying the deal would involve a six-week ceasefire and the release of at-risk hostages. And Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, meanwhile, thanking U.S. and Jordan armed forces for conducting Saturday's airdrop of humanitarian aid to Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. He released a statement on X on Saturday and called it a combined humanitarian assistance airdrop to delivery urgently needed for the relief of civilians in Gaza during the Israeli-Hamas war. And Jonathan O'Halloran tells us a bomb scare during a large pro-Palestinian protest in Times Square, leading to several arrests over the weekend.
What was being called a global day of action for Palestine led to a scary situation just after 4 o'clock Saturday when police say an Uber driver saw what he thought was a grenade in his back seat near the heart of the protest. The bomb squad was called in, but some protesters marching refused to move for police vehicles. The NYPD says that led to several arrests taking place as officers fought through the crowds. Sources say the suspected grenade was later determined to have been a toy.
Senator Marco Rubio saying Joe Biden needs to reverse executive orders he made to end the border crisis. Speaking on Fox News Sunday, the Florida Republican said he would support Biden if he did take executive action related to the border.
Well, the realistic path forward, if we want to end this crisis, begins by Joe Biden reversing the executive orders that he made. Every single one of them was designed to reverse a Trump policy.
Rubio adding, if the president would have already done so, he would have supported funding for Ukraine. Rubio saying criminals from other nations are crossing the border and continuing to be criminals once they make it into the U.S. He's adding, that's what happens when you let millions of people enter the country illegally. And a new poll gives former President Donald Trump a lead over Joe Biden among registered voters. A New York Times Siena College poll surveying about 1,000 registered voters across the country over landline and cellular phones and finding 48% say they would vote for Trump this year if the presidential election were held today, and 43% indicating they would vote for Biden in a hypothetical rematch between the two. The poll had a margin of error of about 3%. The Supreme Court announcing it will issue at least one decision today. The ruling may be the case of former President Donald Trump's eligibility for Colorado's primary ballot. The opinion or opinions will be posted online at 10 a.m. Eastern this morning. This comes after the Colorado Republican Party asked the High Court to act before Super Tuesday primaries coming up this week. And finally, in our new segment on a Monday morning, Trader Joe's is recalling its chicken dumplings because they might contain bits of plastic. Officials say over 61,000 pounds of Trader Joe's steamed chicken soup dumplings are being recalled because they could have plastic from a permanent marker pen. The product was produced in December, but consumers might still have it in their freezers. Officials are telling consumers, do not eat those dumplings. We'll be right back with more Catholic Connection coming up on a Monday morning.
He was a doctor of the church, a Carmelite, and one of the most famous mystics of all time.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. John of the Cross wanted to help all Christians to become saints. One of his most important teachings was to encourage us all to learn how to love. Where there is no love, he said, put love, and you will find love. He died in 1591.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Thanks for tuning in to Catholic Connection Coast to Coast, of course, a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. So this is a pretty incredible story. Not only the incredible story of this testimony, this wonderful priest you're going to be talking to this morning, a new friend of mine. It's kind of like my new little nephew, Father Frankie Cicero from the Diocese of Phoenix. He serves at St. Timothy's in that diocese there. His journey is pretty phenomenal, actually starting when he was in his mother's womb. But our journey together as fast friends, we met on the Good News Cruise, is nothing short also of miraculous, which kind of goes with his whole entire life. It's like pretty crazy. And I still cannot wrap my head around what happened with Father Frankie and myself. And we're going to let him get into that because we're still kind of like the two of us. Every time we saw each other on the cruise ship and we would go back and forth since we got home, in January, like, can you believe this? Like, what in the world? Talk about the details of what happened. So, Father, so great to finally be able to sit down and really give your testimony in full, because you gave bits and pieces of it on the Good News Cruise, but there was so much going on, we couldn't really dive into it. So I so appreciate your time.
Oh, my goodness. I am so grateful for this opportunity and the ability to come share. And, yeah, I mean, I'm still, like you said, my heart is still moved. And to tears, honestly, of just what the goodness of God and the ability to uniquely place you and I in our lives at the proper time that God's like goodness could be released in ways in which you and I had no idea, but it was exactly what we needed, and allowing this his beautiful love to be able to be expressed. And so just thank you for this opportunity. I never thought in the midst of the suffering, the difficulty that in my life, that I would be able to rejoice in the goodness of God in all the difficulty and all the suffering. And that's like such a gift for me, being able to just to share and speak. And, because it's one of those things that you mentioned. Yeah, things did begin in the womb with me. You know, I mean, my 6 months, you know, my mom was in prayer. She hears so simply, something's wrong with your child. Something's wrong with your child. Something's wrong with your child. And as she follows the prompting of the Lord, she goes to the medical doctors. They run the tests, and they see that I have a particular abdominal wall defect. It's called gastroschisis. And they gave me a 2% chance of living. And they were very open and honest with my mom. And they said that even if your son lives, it's going to be an extremely difficult and life of suffering. And unfortunately, they advised my mother to abort me. Thanks be to God, my mom, my dad basically said, listen, we're going to let the Lord decide. Mm-hmm. It's not your decision, it's his. And by the grace of God, amen, the Lord saved my life. And now the doctors were right. Yeah, I've had major complications. There were 8 surgeries on my intestinal tract, in and out of the hospital, sometimes 1, 2, 4 times within a year of obstructions, kind of a twisting of my bowel. And so suffering and difficulty was just something that was normal. But I remember it was interesting. 5 years old, we'd always have these kind of, the hospital would have these miracle baby picnics.
Mm-hmm.
And they would have them for the sake of obviously kids being able to kind of have a community of like some difficulty and suffering, and then there'd be as well for the parents with difficulty and suffering. And I remember when I was 5 years old, I realized it was the first time that I shouldn't be here. That I had this understanding that, oh my goodness, like God saved my life. And it was in that moment I remember I turned to my mom and I said, Mom, I know that God saved my life and I'm here for a reason. I don't know fully what it is, but I know I'm here to give him glory in some way.
Wow.
And at 5 years old, I desired to give my life completely to the Lord. And now what was interesting was that was actually really hard for my dad. My dad was this 100% Sicilian machismo man, and God, tears, and emotions were really hard for my dad. And just God, tears, and emotions were totally my world. And so growing up, my relationship with my father was just really difficult. It was hard for him to understand my desire to give my life to the Lord, to pursue chastity, to save myself and to be able to, just live a life of holiness. And it wasn't so much like priestly life or married life. It was just, I don't know what I'm here to do, but I just want to give my life completely to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And in the midst of that, it was a real struggle with my dad. And it actually, one day came to a head. You know, I was 18. And again, like every kid, you know, every son desires the love and the affirmation of his dad. And in that struggle, I remember 18 years old, dad pulls my mom and my sister and I aside, and he just looks at us and he says, I don't want you anymore. I'm done with you. And I remember after he says this, he gets up and he pulls me aside and he looks me right in the eye and he says, you are not the son that I wanted. You are not good enough to be my son.
Oh.
And then he leaves. And as my dad leaves, obviously I am so angry. I'm not just at my dad, but I'm angry at the Lord. Right?
Because right.
Even after my dad left, we came to find out as well that my dad had a second life. My dad was addicted to major drugs. He had a particular almost second family, so to speak, on the side, that he was basically, you know, a mistress, and Gina, my mom, and all of this. And not just that, but he placed us in major debt as well. And soon after he left, we lost our home. We lost our vehicles. We were in major debt and didn't know where we were going to live and we had to get on food stamps. And so not only did my dad just leave, tell me that he's not the son I wanted, but I just literally within weeks just saw my entire life, my entire family ripped apart and destroyed, and here I am now having to figure out how to pick up all the pieces.
Right, and then you're also saying at a young age you want to dedicate your life to God, whatever that means, and you had, you know, were able to overcome, even though you had a lot of suffering, the medical conditions, you lived through that and worked through that. And by the way, if you're just joining us on Catholic Connection, having a beautiful conversation with a new friend of mine, Father Frankie Cicero, and he's associate pastor at St. Tim's in the Diocese of Phoenix. We met on the Good News Cruise in January, and there's an amazing story connected to that. But I want him, and he's doing this a beautiful job right now, of really getting into detail of his journey and how God has led him to where he is today and all the great work he's doing as a priest, not just at the parish, but also online and telling his testimony. Okay, so you were dedicated to the Lord, but then everything is turned upside down. In so many ways, your life is just all over the place. And then what happens after that? You'd lose your home, and then what happens?
Well, so basically when this happened, you know, obviously we're in major debt, and, you know, my mom, my mom just got out of major back surgery. Like, I'm talking rods and screws in her back a week before this happens and my dad leaves. And so she gets on her hands and knees. She starts cleaning floors. My sister gets 2-3 jobs. I get 1-3 jobs, whatever we could do to basically try to make money and try to pull us up out of this debt. And during this time, again, I was so angry at the Lord. Right, I blamed God. I blamed God for everything. Right, I mean, I blamed the wrong person. I should have blamed my dad, but I blamed the Lord. You know, because I was like, Lord, I've done everything you've asked of me. Everything. No drugs. No alcohol. I pursued chastity. I wanted to live a life of holiness for you. Like, how could you do that? How could you allow this to happen? And I remember I told the Lord, I was like, I'm done. I'm done with you. I want nothing to do with you. And in the midst of me just completely leaving the Lord, you know, and this is an interesting response later, I realized my dad leaves me, and my response was to leave the Lord. And I left the Lord because I thought, like, I couldn't find my purpose and my happiness in the love of my dad, and I felt I couldn't find the love and the purpose in my life with the Lord. So I ran and I jumped into everything that the world says brings me happiness to fill this void, this pain that my dad ripped open in the midst of my heart. And so I jumped into as much drugs and alcohol and a life of promiscuity. It led me to actually becoming a bartender at a rock and roll Western Mechanical Bull Bar in Scottsdale, Arizona. And I just lived this life. You know, sometimes I tell people I was just a kid in a candy store with a full pocket of cash, and I just bought up everything, right? And it was interesting on the outside, you know, people could look and they could think that I just had everything, but I was a mess constantly. Like, every day I was trying to medicate myself to not deal with the reality that was actually in front of me, and dealing with the fact that my dad left, the debt that we're in, watching the suffering of my mom, watching the suffering of my sister, and trying to hold it all together. And I just couldn't, you know, no matter how many drugs or whatever the lifestyle might have been, it never, ever touched the depth of my pain. It just pushed it down. And mm-hmm. I remember one night, it was a Saturday night, 1 a.m. In the bar. I was making drinks, and the bar that I was at was a very popular bar. I mean, it was very common to 2,000 to 3,000 people on a Friday, Saturday night. And when you're making drinks, your head's in a well, you don't have time to stop. Like, you are going. And I remember in this moment, as I'm making drinks, all of a sudden, I physically felt just pushed back, like physically pushed back. And I remember as I'm being pushed back, I look up and everything just goes slow. Everything. Everyone at the bar, from people grabbing drinks, even watching the bull was like going extremely slow. And I'm looking upstairs, the upstairs bar's packed, the patio bar outside is just packed. And I have this moment right there, 1 a.m. And I was like, I have everything that the world says brings happiness.
Right.
I'm not drugs, alcohol, promiscuity. There was a fame. I mean, people would come up to me and they're like, I wish I was you.
Right.
I wish I had your life. And I'm like, you don't even know me. And it was right there. And I was like, I am more broken. I am more lonely. And I thought I hate who I am. It was a night there. It was the first time I prayed to God in 6 years. 1 a.m. in the darkest of the bar, I turned to God and I said, Lord, my life is worse without you than it ever was with you. I'm back. What do you want with my life? And in that moment, in a simple prayer, I just experienced the courage. I experienced the love well in my heart. And in that moment, I was like, I gotta leave. And it gave me the courage, the Lord gave me the courage to actually leave the bar and begin to even figure out what that even meant. And I remember in the midst of this kind of pre-conversion of leaving the bar, I was blessed. I have a Catholic priest who was my cousin in the Archdiocese of Baltimore. His name is Father Charles Canterna. And I left his book to fly, and I went out. And I remember I just called him Chucky. I was like, I'll do whatever you want. I was like, there is no no. I was like, all I know is I cannot go back to the life that I've been living for the past 6 years. I need guidance. I need counsel. Like, what do you want me to do? And I remember he basically put me through kind of like this spiritual boot camp. And one of the first things he's like, you're going to get up tomorrow at 6 a.m. and you're going to go down to the chapel and you're going to spend 1 hour in front of Jesus, in front of the Blessed Sacrament.
Frankie, hang on to that. We're going to pick that up right there in terms of your journey to the priesthood and the seminary, the challenges, and then we'll close a little bit later on the program with the story of our meeting and the impact and the connection that still blows us away. And I think it'll blow away you, too, if you haven't heard it yet. It's phenomenal. Not about us. It's about God and what he can do with our guests. More with Father Frankie Cicero, my new friend and little nephew from the Diocese of Phoenix. He's the associate pastor at St. Tim, sharing his great journey into the priesthood. We'll be right back.
When we speak in the Catholic Church about the communion of the sacraments, what do we mean? According to the Catholic Catechism, the fruit of all the sacraments belongs to all the faithful. The sacraments are the sacred links uniting the faithful to one another and binding them to Jesus Christ, and above all, baptism, the gate by which we enter into the Church. The name communion can be applied to all the sacraments, for they unite us to God, but most especially to the Eucharist, as it is primarily the Eucharist that brings this communion about. In the communion of charisms, the Holy Spirit distributes special and diverse graces among the faithful of every rank in order to build up the Church. The phrase, they had everything in common, means that everything a true Christian has is to be regarded as a good possessed in common with everyone else. Thus, a Christian should be eager to share whenever, wherever, with whomever has a need. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
John 14. This is Jesus in the upper room with the disciples before he's going out to his sacrifice of himself for our salvation. And Philip says to the Lord, show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied. Jesus looks at Philip and says, Philip, have I been with you all this time? Don't you understand? When you see me, you're looking at the Father. In fact, only two people throughout human history have given rise to the question, not who is he, but what is he? The two people are Buddha and Jesus. Buddha's answer was, don't come to me, don't look to me, look to my doctrine, look to what I teach. Jesus's answer was, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart. Jesus is explicitly claiming to be God.
I know you're probably on the edge of your seat listening so closely to this beautiful testimony from a wonderful young priest in the Diocese of Phoenix who was ordained as a priest into the diocese back in 2018 by the amazing Bishop Olmsted, Father Frankie Cicero. We met on the cruise. We're going to get into that story in just a little bit. But, Father, picking up where you left off in terms of when you went out to see your cousin and you decided that, okay, I need to really kind of get my head on straight, and you started to pray in front of the tabernacle. So what happened after that?
So as I'm there, I remember, and it was funny because you have to understand, like, I wasn't living a life of prayer. I mean, I didn't even really know kind of what prayer was. And he was just like, no, you're going to go down there. You're going to sit there. You're going to pray. You're going to read Scripture. And he was like, not for 25 minutes, not for 45 minutes. He's like, I don't care if your mind's going nuts. You just sit there for 1 hour, which is in the Blessed Sacrament. I was like, okay. And so I remember I came back up after my hour with Jesus, and we would just talk for another hour about what was it like, what was your experience. And now he's a prison chaplain, and so he's like, I have to go to the prison. And so I remember he gave me the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and he wanted me to learn about this life of holiness and all these different vocations and just this beautiful gift and the goodness of the Church. And so he literally gave me the Catechism, particular chapters. He's like, all right, book reports, I'll be back in 6 hours. And I'm like, I had no idea what I'm doing, nothing, right? And so I do. I just follow what he tells me to do, and then he would come back, and we would talk for, you know, 2, 3, 4 hours digesting all these things. And then the next day, it would be the same thing, but it'd be a different book. It'd be like, you know, on Virginity by Pope John Paul II and all these things. And it was about, like, this life of holiness. And everything was leading up to the sacrament of confession. Everything was this preparation of me being able to be completely honest and real with the Lord. Now, I've had the sacrament before, but this was the first time I was completely raw and real with the Lord. And I remember it was just in a little tiny room, and I remember Chuck Eves gave me this huge crucifix. And he tells me, he's like, don't take your eyes off of Jesus. Mm. Just say everything to Jesus. And I remember for 2 hours, I went. Everything, the last and the first thing I could ever remember, and I was raw, I was real with the Lord with every single sin that I ever committed, everything I could remember. And as I remember, as I'm going to confession, I'm very scared, because I'm scared that I'm going to hear from the Lord the words that my dad told me before he left. Aww. Like, I was afraid that the Lord was going to look at me in the midst of my ugliness, in the midst of my shame, in the midst of all my sin, and he was going to be like, you're not the son that I wanted. Aww. Like, you've sinned too much. Like, you're not good enough. And I remember at the words of absolution, you know, at the words of hearing Christ say, I absolve you from your sin, it was literally in that moment as if I was that adulterous woman, and Jesus just looks at me and he's like, I find no fault in you. Like, get up. And sin no more. And I remember after that confession, it was the first time that I felt free. Like, I felt home. I felt like everything was going to be okay. I mean, I literally just felt from that weight of the sin and the oppression was just gone. And in this freedom, I remember I'm going back home, and I get back into the airport in Phoenix, and I walk off, and I'm like, Lord, I could be this married man living for you, or I could be a priest living for you. Lord, I don't care. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Just tell me. Mm-hmm. And what was interesting is the Lord actually led me to St. Timothy's, which is actually the parish that I'm serving right now. And it was just wild. And I remember so I quit the bar, right? I had a good amount of money. I had a lot of time. And so I would go before the Blessed Sacrament for 3 to 4 hours every day, and I had one question and only one question. What do you want with my life? Mm-hmm. And so I would kneel there. I would sit there. I would read scripture. I would read the lives of the saints, and I would just look and wait and listen. And if I didn't hear that day, I'd be like, fine, Lord, I'm coming back tomorrow. And so for basically 10 weeks, I came with that question, what do you want with my life? And 10 weeks goes by, and it was August 8th. I remember I was talking to Chucky outside the chapel, and I remember these two paths of priestly life and married life were kind of coming into one, and as I'm talking to him on the phone, I just experienced this outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon me, and I really knew in my heart that God was calling me to be a priest. Mm. I didn't say anything. Like, I'm having this, like, crazy moment. I'm even crying. I don't say anything to Chucky, but I'm like, I gotta go. And I remember I go back into the chapel, and I have my Bible in my hand. I kneel before the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, and I look at Jesus, and I'm like, Jesus, I know you've called me to be your priest, but you're such a loving and merciful God. Is there any way you can give me a physical sign? So I close my eyes. I open up the Bible. I open my eyes, and I look down. And the first words I saw were, follow me. Matthew 9:9, the call of Matthew from the tax collectors. No joke. I remember I started crying. I still have the Bible. I wrote August 8th, 2009, confirmation to the priesthood. And what was wild was the next day, I remember I go to a different chapel. It was St. Bernard in Scottsdale. And I remember I'm in the chapel and I'm like, Lord, that's awesome. You called me to be your priest, but how do I do that? Like, is there like a number I call? Like, what do I do? Like, I don't know anything. And I remember I'm leaving the chapel and I feel prompted by the Lord to turn. And I turn and here on the wall, it says, want to be a priest? Call this number. And it was a location poster.
I'm just laughing because God is so specific. I mean, it's like people think he's not. They say the devil's in the details, but oh no, God is in the details, right?
He's so in the details. And I remember it was just, I was like, okay, awesome, thank you. And I mean, that's like what really started this journey of just like me calling, me sitting down, and obviously just so much of this like movement of just following the Lord, of this complete conversion. And, you know, in one moment of my life, I'm serving drinks. The next moment, I'm trying to lay down my life and follow the Lord and to be his priest. And this is where it's crazy, because in the midst of like my seminary life, you know, a lot of people didn't even know that during this time, even before my conversion, which is wild, was my dad, right? He was gone out of my life for over 5 years. I had no idea what was going on. And then I come to find out that my dad has like his own conversion, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm like even still living in the bar a little bit before this whole thing happened. And like, I come to find out that my dad has this like crazy conversion. And like, my mom is literally taking care of my dad. Right? Like, and this is what's so crazy about it, was because even before my conversion, I'm watching my dad, my mom, like, take my dad to every single, like, chemo, every single radiation appointment. I'm watching my dad's life, right? And he's, like, getting better. And I remember I was, like, angry. I was angry because, and I share this because so much of this assisted the conversion. Because I remember I watched my mom, and I was angry at my mom watching my mom clean up my dad's puke and love mm-hmm. on my dad and take care of him. And I remember as I'm watching my dad get better, I was angry at my mom, and I actually yelled at her. And I was like, what are you doing? How can you do this? How can you literally clean up a man's puke and take care of him? And here's this one who like literally ripped our whole family apart. And I'll never forget my mom looks at me and she just says, thank you. It's not just your father whom I love. It's Jesus in your father whom I love. And it was that moment in the midst of my own conversion that I would remember when I was wanting to give my life to the Lord as a priest, to lay down my life to that area of forgiveness, that area of love. And it was just this radical gift that God gave me to see the love, the unconditional love of my mom.
Hold on with that thought, Frankie. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
And now, the EWTN Family Prayer with Father Joseph.
Family, a prayer that we pray together is a powerful prayer. So please pray together with me, our EWTN Family Prayer. Today we pray for those who have diabetes. Almighty God, we worship you, our Father, and we pray this day for those who suffer with diabetes. Look upon your children with this illness and grant them relief. Give them patience and the grace of perseverance in taking care of their health. Show them the way to physical and spiritual well-being. Let their cry come to your ears and bring them healing in mind and body and soul. We ask this in the holy name of Jesus, your Son. Amen.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popchak.
Most parents would like to raise generous kids, but where do you start? Well, authentic generosity doesn't start with serving strangers. It starts with looking for little ways families can make each other's lives easier at home. Start a new habit in your family. Make it a rule that everyone should look for one way to leave a room better than they found it. It doesn't matter who left the coat off the hook or who left the toy on the floor. If you see it, deal with it. The important point is, good teams don't bicker about whose job something is, because everybody on the team is just committed to giving their all to get the job done. Practicing generous service at home is one of the most important things Catholic families can do. To discover more ways your family can celebrate the liturgy of domestic church life, check out the newest editions of Parenting with Grace and visit CatholicCounselors.com. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
I mean, you can't make a testimony like this up. It sounds like something out of a movie, and who knows, maybe someday they will make a movie of the life of this amazing young priest now serving the Diocese of Phoenix. I know we were fast friends, and what happened with us on the Good News Cruise was really just crazy. As crazy, if not more crazy, than the story he just shared about when he was praying about, I think I'm supposed to be a priest, and he's asking the Lord in adoration, okay, but I don't know what to do. Is there a number to call? What do I do? And he turns around, and he sees a sign, want to be a priest. Now, come on. so God. It's just, I just love it because God has such a great sense of humor, great sense of timing because he's God, but also he's so in the details. Okay, so Frankie, you then entered the seminary and then you were ordained in 2018, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so I entered seminary, and what I was just speaking about was, like, my dad's, like, conversion, which is just wild, right, because in now my own conversion, right, I'm now, like, going to seminary, and what was crazy about this whole thing was my dad was given a 5% chance to live, and my mom taking care of my dad, all the radiation, all the chemo, like, sacrificing her life for him, my dad actually miraculously lived, right, so my dad miraculously lives. And he's having this crazy conversion. And I'm now in seminary, and I'm, like, had my own conversion. And I'm, like, following and trying to trust the Lord. And in the midst of all this, too, which is really interesting, was a lot of my health conditions came back. Mm. You know, or not, they were just, you know, increased more. I mean, I had, I think, around maybe 11 to 13 hospitalizations in seminary life. And it was a really difficult time. It was a real difficult time of surrender, of being able to fulfill and to trust in God's goodness and his plan in the midst of my own physical suffering. And about that real physical suffering, I remember, because the Lord began to heal areas in my own relationship with my dad that happened years and years ago. Because now here's my dad. He's had this conversion, right? And here I am in the midst of seminary life. And I remember my dad, his cancer actually comes back, you know. So my dad was miraculously healed 5 years before, his cancer comes back. And I remember I was blessed to be able to spend a week with my dad in the hospital, in hospice. And I remember I went back, I left, and I spent a week. And my dad has, you know, he's dying. He doesn't have life. He doesn't have much joy. It's extremely difficult. But every day I just be with him, and I would just pray with him, pray the rosary the best we could. And I remember on the eighth day, my dad had just kind of a real, like, lucidity. There was, like, joy. There was life, and he was talking. And I felt super prompted and touched by the Lord to ask my dad the question that I always wanted to ask him. And I remember I just turned to my dad, and I said, "Hey, Dad." He's like, "Yeah. Are you proud of me?" And I remember my dad, he, like, hit me in, like, a really fun way, and he grabs me. But my dad wasn't strong enough to, like, hold me up, so he just kind of fell. And so I fell into my dad's arms, and he just rubbed my head, and he was like, my son, I'm so proud of you. And I remember I'm just, like, bawling. And the next morning, I wake up, and my intestinal tract is in pain. And I literally say to the Lord, "Lord, no, you cannot ask me to go into the hospital. My dad is dying. I can't, no, I'm not doing that." And I remember I heard so simply the Lord say, "Will you suffer for your father? Aww. Will you suffer so that your father can die in peace?" And I said, "Yes, Lord, I will suffer because he's my father. And I'm his son," right? That moment the day before where my dad, like, reclaimed me as his son, where I even reclaimed him as my dad, you know, and being able in that moment to surrender and to give my life. And I remember I went in the hospital, and every night I was just waiting for the nurse to come in and tell me that my dad died while I was sleeping. And in God's goodness and love, I was able to get out of the hospital in time. I rushed back to hospice. I was able to embrace my dad one last time. Shortly thereafter, that night, my dad died. And the beautiful and amazing detail of this all, right, is kind of our story,
yeah,
right, with, because, you know, I go on this Good News cruise, I'm super blessed and grateful, and I mean, you know, there's thousands of people, there's a ton of people in our group, and, you know, in God's goodness and the detail, he literally sits us at the same table, sitting right next to each other.
The first night and on the cruise.
First night, yeah, on the cruise. And we don't know one another. We don't even know each other's stories. You know, I think you asked a little kind of question about a little bit of just kind of like testimonies, just really simply, and I kind of just gave you the whole little bartender
thing. Right.
And you were just like, I got to hear more, you know, and you were so kind to invite me on the show. And I'm super excited. And so I talked to my mom. Like, I literally talked to my mom that night, and I let her know that I'm going to be on the show with you and Teresa. And my mom's freaking out, and she's like, Frankie. I'm like, yeah, Mom. She goes, do you know that when your dad, in his recovery and in his conversion, that Teresa's show was one of the shows that he would watch and listen to all the time? Mm. I was like, what? And she goes, Frankie, she had a huge impact on your dad's conversion. And EWTN was a huge part. Her show, the crop, EWTN, all of this was a huge part of giving his life back to the Lord. And I remember I cried and I lost it because it wasn't just you assisting my dad to know Jesus again, but you had this huge impact of me and my father having reconciliation again, right? The moment that I had with my dad in hospice, the moment that I had of surrendering my pain and my difficulty to the Lord in the midst of what my dad has done, you had a huge part in that. And I'm so grateful to the Lord for everything that you have done, everything that EWTN has done, because my ability in my heart now to know the love of my dad, to how the love of the Lord redeemed so much, and all this was happening years before. I had no idea.
Yeah.
And that's
what's
so crazy, was the Lord literally waited. The Lord waited like 15 years for me to know this until the moment that you and I would meet. Right? The Lord knew that we would meet one day, and he held that, and he wanted to release that in that moment on the cruise. And I'm just forever grateful, just recognizing the goodness of God that he is in the details and seeing just so much of how my own life, my father's life, the story of suffering and difficulty, this story of redemption and hope, that in the midst of it, the Lord is constantly working for good. He has a plan, and I'm just so grateful for you. I'm so grateful for everything that you have done.
Well, all glory to God, because you know, when we're on, I'm really trying to maintain my composure.
I know, yeah,
because I'm a national talk show host,
I'm
But no, it's just crazy, because I think I told you on the cruise, and since we've been talking after and arranging this interview, that was a really, I went on the cruise, and you know, you've met me, I think you know me well enough that I'm truly a very joyful person. I love life, I love people, but I was really struggling when we got on the ship, because I went to the March for Life. It was fabulous, so much encouragement and inspiration. And then the week of the anniversary of Roe v. Wade, I just felt this very heaviness on my heart because of all the news that was out there about, you know, the administration on their abortion tour, and I just felt kind of hopeless. And then I meet you the first night, and then the next day I find out that your father's conversion is due in part to what we do here every day at EWTN. So I needed that, and you needed that, but the fact that the first night I meet you at dinner, Father, and there's other priests there. I could have sat anywhere. I mean, my associate pastor's at the table, Father Adam, who's wonderful, so many other priests. I mean, it was like, I think we had pretty much a table of all the priests that were serving there. And yet the seat was open, so I just went and I just sat next to you. And then it was just incredible, because even if I had sat at the table and not next to you, I wouldn't have gotten the detail of your story, because it was a big table of 10. And so just the details that it takes, that night, that timing, right next to you at the table.
Mm-hmm. And that, absolutely. I mean, and again, and that's just what's so beautiful about it, is like this one moment in my life that was released actually has this huge impact upon you and me. And then now there, it also then now creates stability for the Lord to be like, I want this to be shared. I want people to experience and know that I'm here. I'm in every single moment, and I'm desiring to release my goodness and my love in the midst of your suffering, in the midst of joy, in the midst of it all, you know, and I'm forever grateful. Honestly, I mean, the Lord wanted you and I both to know that he's here and that he loves us. And that, you know, and it was a beautiful thing for me to look at you and be like, the work that you have done and are doing is bearing tremendous fruit. Me as a priest of Jesus Christ, I can say thank you, not just as a son of God, but as a priest of God, for what you have done, because of the healing that God assisted my father and I to have, that him being able to have eternally now, because of what you and EWTN have done. And so I just am so grateful.
Well, I think I know where we become very close in a very short period of time, but I think I share that gratitude with our listeners and with all the people at EWTN. Ave Maria Radio have the confidence, and those of us on the air, to allow us to do what we do day in and day out. And to the dedicated listeners and followers who support us, who pray for us, And I'm really hoping that this interview this morning, this is why I wanted all the details in there, will encourage someone in terms of someone who's going through a hard time, and maybe people thinking my Lent isn't going well, I fell off the wagon again, you know, I was going to do this, and you know, whatever it is, that to never ever give up and to remember that it is God, not the other one who's in the details. God is such a detailed God. Okay, I got another one for you. Okay, so just take a breath, all right? Okay. So now normally I don't look at my phone during interviews. I do keep it by me in case Andrew has to reach me or there's some sort of an urgency going on with technology, which often happens. I just happened to see a text come through. You're not going to believe who it was from.
Who?
It's from Rachel Bowman, married to Deacon Jason, who was on the cruise with us. And she just reached out to say, I just wanted to say it was so great meeting you and spending time with you and Deacon Dom. Now, what are the chances, Frankie, of that happening during this interview?
Are you serious?
I'm totally
That's
serious.
That's so wild. No way.
Yes.
It's just crazy. I mean,
she just texted me.
That's the Lord. This is the Lord. I mean, yeah, I remember when we were doing the interview, they were right there in the front row.
Yep.
Both of them. And then they were asking, and then they were able to be blessed on your show, and I was able to sit there like, oh, my goodness, they're so wonderful.
I know.
I love them. I was blessed to be able to text a little bit more with the good deacon, and oh, my goodness, my heart was just so blessed and so encouraged by them and their story.
I know, but again, here's God showing off again. I mean, think about that, Frankie.
I'm just like wild right now. I'm just like, wait, I'm sorry. Like, how is it?
It's crazy. Well, let me give you the last word. We have about 2 minutes left in terms of encouraging people this morning. A incredible journey, and the Lord continues to use you, and I look forward to seeing you. You're going to be on the Good News Cruise again next year, goodnewscruise.com. Come and just meet Father Frankie in person. Listen to his great homilies and just meet him as an incredible priest. So dynamic. What a story. But we all have a story, and we all need to share it. So, Father, I'm just going to let you wrap us up maybe with some final thoughts this morning.
Never give up, because God's never giving up on you. I think that's the biggest thing I've always recognized in my life, is that God, in every moment of every day, is moving and working towards our good. That he is moving in the midst of every single detail, and he loves every single human heart to the point that he gave his life for us. And wherever you're at, honestly, wherever you are at, whatever difficulty, whatever darkness, whatever doubt, whatever fear, wherever you may be right now, the Lord is looking upon you and saying, I love you, and I'm working for you, and don't give up on me. I promise you, I will bring you to a place of goodness and peace and healing in my name. This is the goodness of the God that we serve in Jesus Christ. This is the hope that we have, and this is the whole point of Lent, that we are moving towards a hope that will never fail, a hope that will never die in our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. So well said, Father. Thank you. I love you and look forward to seeing you on the cruise, God willing, if not sooner, and we'll talk again. Father Frankie Cicero from the Diocese of Phoenix, one of our priests on the Good News Cruise, sharing a phenomenal testimony. You can find him at St. Timothy's in the Diocese of Phoenix, and we're wrapping up a show. We'll be right back to let you know what's coming up tomorrow. Stay tuned.
Ave Maria Radio invites you to feast on the joy of fasting this Lenten season and all year long. Fast from complaining. Feast on appreciation. Fast from negatives. Feast on affirmatives. Fast from unrelenting pleasures. Feast on unceasing prayer. Fasting is a part of true Christian life. It liberates us from this world as we grow closer to Christ.
Here's your chance to save some big money on our most unique Italy pilgrimage ever, taking you from coast to coast, the Amalfi Coast to the Adriatic, covering some of the most stunning attractions in Bella Italia. Hi, it's Teresa Tomio, and now is the time to take advantage of our $250 discount on La Dolce Fide, The Sweetness of Faith 2024. We begin on October 26, taking you to Sorrento, Pompeii, Amalfi, Ravello. San Giovanni Rotondo is next, then St. Michael's Cave in Gargano, the ancient cities of Matera and Bari, and along the way, encountering a long list of saints, including St. Maria Goretti, St. Andrew the Apostle, St. Michael the Archangel, Padre Pio, and St. Nicholas, traveling from the Amalfi Coast to the Adriatic, experiencing beautiful scenery, breathtaking basilicas, and quite frankly, some of the best food on God's green earth. So join us for La Dolce Fide 2024, Italy Coast to Coast, and save $250 per person through March 6. Simply visit our website, avemariaradio.net, and our travel page, avemariaradio.net travel, for more information. Foundation.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Thanks for tuning in to the EWTN and the Ave Maria Radio Networks. Find us both online, EWTN.com and AveMariaRadio.net. In addition to the archives, you'll find daily at the archives section of AveMariaRadio.net. I always want to encourage you, for news and views from a truly Catholic perspective, please visit our news sources. It's so important to make sure that you are seeing things through the lens, as Al Cresta always says, of Scripture and the teachings of the Catholic Church. So how do you do that? Well, my faves, Catholic News Agency, I use them every day, catholicnewsagency.com, the National Catholic Register, ncregister.com, and then, of course, there are great programs here on the EWTN network that help you take a look at the news, again, through a Catholic perspective. You have The World Over with News Director Raymond Arroyo. You have EWTN News Nightly every single night, covering all the stories in the U.S. and around the world. You have In Depth. It's a relatively new program looking at issues in depth from the news perspective. So just to keep that in mind, when you see something out there in the news or in the world and you're troubled by it, come to us. We've got the resources. Have a great day. Talk to you soon.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruczek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.